Good morning. You've arrived at Listen Local, the bi-weekly webcast from your neighborhood news source, Mission Local, brought to you via BFF.fm. If you haven't heard about this, at some point you've most likely seen it, since it's been graffitied on the building in huge letters. An illegal gambling den has proved difficult to root out on Mission Street near 25th. Soda and candy cravers might have known the place previously as the Fizzery, which closed in May, but since new subtenants moved in, it's been nothing but trouble, including a shooting that occurred there a few weeks ago. But why hear it from me when the man in the middle of dealing with all this is right here with us? Taylor Peck, the owner of the former Fizzery, has been trying to get the gambling den out of there for months now. Taylor, thank you for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Laura Winnes, and in studio today is Mission Local reporter Laura Waxman. Yes, there's two of us. And our other reporter, Joe Ravano Barros, may be joining us shortly. Laura, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good.
So, Taylor, maybe you could explain to us your exact role in all this. I know maybe not everybody's caught up. You're the business owner of the former Fizzery, but that's closed. So let's just clear up any confusion for people who aren't familiar. What's your role in it now? What's happening now around you?
Right. The speakeasy's opened up in our building, and my role in it is that of master tenant to the building. Mm-hmm. It's a mixed-use building with two residents and one giant commercial space and a smaller back commercial space that's separated that I use for wholesale. The original Fizzery storefront became available for sublet in August, and I went ahead and found some supposedly qualified tenants and vetted them and had them move in under false pretenses.
What did they say to you?
They were going to, and it's an elaborate story, and anybody listening, this scam's been pulled over and over. This is a multi-time offender. They came in under the auspice of opening a vitamin and wellness shop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Complete with a visit from his wife with their six-month-old baby.
Wow.
And the following day for final inspection, their mother came by as well to inspect the premises. And because they had suggested that they were going to open vitamin and wellness, they had cited the brand Herbalife as their corporate backer who was going to participate in the overall rent, because this was going to be their flagship San Francisco store. And even after they gained access to the building, they kept it going with multiple days of back and forth negotiation about signage in the front and how they were checking in with corporate about where they could put the Herbalife logos, etc.
Is Herbalife one of those, I'm not totally familiar, is it kind of one of those multi-level marketing type
Absolutely
deals?
It is. You actually have to sign a waiver to enter their website that that does not allow them to be liable for anything that you consume that they manufacture.
Okay, so not so much a vitamin shop that's going to put up a big sign about they are in peddle legitimate wares.
Well, specifically when it got to the signage issue, they got back to me and said, well, Herbalife has said we can't market on the main marquee of the building, but we're allowed to use their logo inside regardless. Not a single vitamin. Plenty of pills have entered that building, but not a single vitamin. And within about 4 days, they were up and running. Mm-hmm. And that means up and running with after-hour parties that go from 2 in the morning till 6 in the morning with no regard for sound whatsoever. And it's surrounded on three sides by residential occupants. And they operate on a good week, 7 days a week. On a slow week, 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on since they took possession in September.
Mm-hmm.
So you live in the back of the building.
I do.
What was your initial reaction when you realized that this wasn't the business that you signed up for?
Not good. And when I realized, actually, it was right after Labor Day, and I went on a whirlwind tour of family reunions and visiting throughout the state. I didn't get back to the city until halfway through that month. And the first night I heard them going full bore, I approached them the next morning. I said, you know, I don't know what you guys were doing, but that sounded like quite the party. I then left town again. And when I came back the next night, same thing, party. And I put two and two together. And this is now getting toward the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
And listened for the next 3 days where it was nonstop party. And that was sort of where I had my aha, this sucks moment. And not until about 2 days later was I approached by a group of neighbors who had been present the entire month that I had been gone, who had endured it every single night. And they saw me and they said, Taylor, what's going on? I said, I don't know. Have you heard these parties? And they were the first ones to inform me that they've been every single night.
Wow. That's, I imagine they weren't happy.
You can tell who lives near the facility right now based on the bags under their eyes. I mean, it's unreal. Imagine if you had your bedroom.
You look a little tired.
That is the understatement of this year. It's such a surreal sensation having, you know, it's one of those things to think that it's a community blight and whatnot. But we're now approaching 2.5 months of every single night thumping sound through your wall. And all of us have bedrooms adjacent. And to just think it's a blight in the community, kind of got to move along, is one thing. But to actually be in the midst of this where you have absolutely zero control, there's no enforcement whatsoever that can make it stop. And it's gotten to the point where two of the neighbors have actually relocated through the duration of this until some resolve is created, but they just couldn't even stay in their apartment anymore.
Wow. How did they relocate in this town?
Friends and family. Okay. Same thing. I have nonstop offers to just get out of there and take couch space. And I've done it whenever I can. I've been a house guest more in the last 2 months than I have in the last 2 years.
Wow. So this is interesting. I mean, you know, we haven't spoke, I guess, you know, disclaimer, we haven't spoken to anybody who is involved in actually making this club happen. Mm-hmm. So we don't know their side of the story. But it sounds like it's a family that's operating it.
The family is who came in and initially applied. There's one ringleader. I'm not going to call him out by name here, but yeah. There's one ringleader, and he's associated with a much larger group of mostly males who are known to put these on occasion. And that's been confirmed for me by the SFPD. When I went in and said, here are the tenants, and they go, yeah, I know, he's already in our system and he's done it, you know.
Okay, so let's talk about enforcement, because this is the part that's totally baffling to me.
Me too.
There are police officers there often. I mean, some have been telling us they're there with shotguns, like, as every night even. What is happening and why isn't this shut down yet?
Yeah, not as extreme as having them there every night, and I wish it was. There have been noise complaint, neighborhood concern calls more close to every night, and definitely in the beginning it was every night, and then it just sort of wears on you after a while. You know, after you've made your 21st call in 21 days consecutively, and it's still going on, and only, you know, at best, one third of those calls are responded to, you just, the hopes begins to diminish. You know, it's just not something that you want to be dealing with at 4:30 a.m.
Sure.
Making this call and filing a report and meeting the officer out front. It just gets really disturbing to your everyday.
Yeah, I've heard that from other neighbors too, who are like, hey, we call the emergency number, but then by the time we get there, like, honestly, we just want to go to bed. Like,
yeah, anecdotally, 3 nights ago, they've gotten to an extreme level where it was a huge party and there's a gas generator that's in there now. And I use that as my impetus to get the PD out there. And I said, this was Sunday night. I called it approximately 2:40 a.m. and told the officer I'd meet him out front. And I waited until about 5:45 and made 8 more calls in. And not one cruiser even rolled by.
Oh, no.
And at 6, when the noise ordinances sort of shift to daytime mode, I gave up. And when my head hit the pillow at 7 a.m., my phone rang. And it was dispatch saying, Mr. Peck, there's a officer outside to meet you. And the party had just ended 30 minutes ago.
No.
And when I informed them of that, they said, oh, so you don't need our help? Okay, I'll send away the officer.
Right.
Click.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
We'll wait till the next night.
Well, this generator situation seems very dangerous. How is that not a hazard? Or grounds enough for them to at least step in?
You know, the thing of it, in certain circumstances, I am fully on board with this. There's due process of the law where, you know, you don't want to have, if you're having an innocent house party or you mess up once or twice in a multi-year residency, you don't want the cops to come in and lock you out of your own place. And they afford them that same due process dozens of times. And that's where it gets a little irritating. It's known what the police at this point aren't confused about what's going on in there. They've actually busted the place 3 times. They've hauled out by the confession of the individual running the speakeasy, confessed to me himself while we've been in all the different types of negotiations that I've been forced to have with him to try and just get him out. they've seized over $40,000 worth of gambling equipment on two different occasions. They've conducted searches of people in there, and they're looking for people, high profile people with warrants. They've hauled them out. One night in particular, they arrested seven people right out of the club, not one of which were any of the organizers of the party who, for whatever reason, were not present at the time. What happens is, if you call in and ask for it to be broken up, say the party starts consistently at 2 a.m., you're lucky to get a police response by 4, it's usually closer to 5, at which point they'll rattle on the door, and if they can get someone to open, they will have them exit the building and the party's done, and they will give the party planner, the ringleader, a warning. If you start this party, just like anybody's heard if they've been to a noisy house party, if you start this party again, we'll be back to cite you. Well, no problem. Their speakeasy usually goes from 2 till 6 a.m. And if they're broken up at 5, they call it the night. Hmm. Then they come back the next night and do the exact same thing.
Right.
On the last bust, I actually asked the policeman, which I found fascinating. I said, thank you for giving him a warning. Thank you for shutting down the party. Can you just tell him not to do these parties again? And this is where I realized how firm this wall was. He said, I'm not able to tell him that. It's not even, I wasn't asking for enforcement or anything. It was just tell him not to throw illegal parties.
And did they say why?
No, that was it. It was just sort of, in my opinion, it was sort of implied due process.
Sure.
We can break up the party. This is the limit of my powers. Mm-hmm. We're done.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I want to go back just real quick, because it sounds like some people are still confused. Clarify for us one more time. Yeah. You're the master tenant of the commercial space.
Correct. And it's divided into separate units. And so when we got the Fizzery building, we had the entire building. It was wholesale production office, everything. For cash flow reasons, the Fizzery closed, and that left a good chunk, over half of the building, vacant. And we just needed a qualified retail tenant to come in and work alongside with us so we can maintain the peace and balance and business function of that building.
And what's the owner's reaction been? The owner?
Not good. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm sitting here now with my hair combed, because right after this, I have to go to court to defend myself against eviction of me.
Uh-huh.
He initially, when I reported the problem to him, took a hands-off approach. Okay, this is your problem. I acknowledge that. I said, okay, I'm going to work on it. I then started to broker a deal with the speakeasy, which was so uncomfortable. One, because with absolute offense intended to these people, they're completely skeezy and no word has come out of their mouth that hasn't been an outright lie. When I started to do this broker arrangement, just get out voluntarily, I waited until right after one of their big busts where seven people were arrested. I approached them the next day. I said, come on, man, come on. Is this finally time? You have no more gambling equipment in there. The police are absolutely onto you. Seven of your buddies just got hauled out. And he said, no, I'm not going to go. What are you offering me? At which point, and I just closed a business for cash flow reasons. And you know, you bleed yourself dry before you do that. I'm not, you know, independently wealthy by any means. Yeah. I said, the best I can do is give you back your rent deposit, which in itself even made my stomach turn, because the damage they've done to the building, including we had 14 by 14 foot plate glass windows, two of them, and one of them was shot out.
Right.
And another, yeah, and another one got a brick through it. And
oh, good.
Then we have glass swinging doors, and both of those got rocks through them. The thought of giving him back his rent deposit, but nonetheless, he agreed to it.
Okay.
Here's the unfortunate twist. On that same day, he agreed to be brokered out of the building within 3 days. I got served my eviction notice
with my name.
It was just to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a qualified subtenant who was going to come in and provide those funds to buy them out. And mm-hmm. as soon as I got served with the eviction notice, that person backed off immediately and said, until you resolve this, I can't come in. And I absolutely, of course, will not provide funds, which I understood.
Right.
At which point I approached the building owner and said, can you conditionally drop the eviction suit against me? And this is conditionally. If within 3 days I can get them out, we'll proceed as normal. We're back on track. And at which point, because he was gun shy, because the whole other episode with the SFPD mission station calling the property owner directly and intimidating him, that same day, he said, I can't. The police are angry at me. Mm-hmm. I need to keep going this path. The whole thing's been a series of misfortunes.
Wow.
Yeah, so 45 days later, after they said they'd get out 3 days, the property owner finally said, I will drop the eviction suit against you, at which point I returned to the speakeasy, who's now comfortably been operating for 45 days without a bus. And they said, no, now we want 10,000 and we want to stay another month. At which point I don't have 10,000 and they can't stay another month because I'll be evicted 2 weeks ahead of that.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, would evicting you also get the club out?
Theoretically? Absolutely. It's a smart move, or rather it's the only move the property owner can do. But what's going to happen is I will be leaving weeks ahead of them leaving because it's trickle down. I leave my apartment. That's literally the only action that's going to happen is I lose my status as master tenant and I exit the building. And then those people go on the war path to defend their space.
Sure, because so far they haven't exactly been super cooperative, right? So I'm sure it would be fun to try and get them out.
Right, right. And they'll operate all the way till the last minute. And it's not even by force. They'll fight to defend themselves legally as tenants that supposedly haven't done anything wrong. And the only way to prove that they've done anything wrong is go through the whole judicial process one more time. And with me, it's taken a month and a half, and I haven't even put up that much resistance. Mm-hmm. With them, it's going to be the same. So as soon as I go, the community feasibly could expect another 45 days minimum of this type of activity.
Wow, that's quite a ride. It makes me wonder if, you know, if the police's hands are tied because they have to go through due process. I mean, is there a due process here, like, from a court side that could be pursued?
You know, it's, and you're kind of talking to a defeated fella right here. Right. You know, I'm kind of, I'm my tail's between my legs and I'm, you know, trying to figure out even how to hold on in San Francisco at all. You know, I've already cleared the way to go stay with my retired mother, which is, you know, a fantastic pursuit at age 40, having just gone from the master tenant and my own business to abandoning everything and leaving the city. Mm. With regards to the court, really, no, it becomes a civil matter, and the way the police force a civil matter is through intimidation of the tenant and the owner. There's code compliance officer in the SF mission station who's been nothing but nasty to both me and the owner, and I've worked very well with other individuals, for example Lieutenant Falzon, who's liaison to the ABC and works out of the Bryant station. You know, it's top tier enforcement and has been cordial, been trying to broker deals, etc. Every time I get him on the phone, it's virtually a delight to talk to him because he actually gives me hope. Then
high praise in this situation.
Absolutely. And then when we get a call to us from the mission station, it's nasty. It's I'm coming for you. And I anecdotally have a story on that one that just came up yesterday.
Okay.
But with regards to that, they can't do anything. The courts wait for it to come through civilly. And the only thing I'm to answer that question, maybe looking toward the horizon, and I should be more read up on this, but at the same time, I don't care because this is the last time I get to deal with it.
Right.
John Avalos, I hear, is constructing legislation that's meant to specifically deal with this problem. And I haven't read it. I have no idea what it is, but if law enforcement, including the ABC, including the city attorney, including the police, can do nothing but give nightly warnings until the intimidated property owner does something about it, maybe this Avalos legislation is proposing some special instance where maybe a lockout could be enforced or something like that. It's just amazing that really is a padlock and a chain that would make it all in, but there's such a rift between reality and being able to make that happen.
Sure. And I'm sure legislation takes some time, you know, even if it was the golden ticket, it would take some time to work its way through the system and become actual law.
Right. Longer term. And apparently this city is just peppered with the same situation. And in their path, they leave a wake of destruction for whether it be people like me who are simply tenants in the building or property owners, but dozens of these are existing throughout our neighborhood. And mine just happens to be the most high profile right now. Because if anything, we're sort of going down swinging.
Yeah.
Speaking of, so can we talk a little bit about how you tagged your own storefront?
Yeah, and that's the anecdotal story about the intimidation, which I think you'll find fascinating.
Let's hear it. Story time.
You know, it's gotten to the point where when you make a call and you don't get response for 5, 6, 7 hours, and everybody's staying put who's doing illegal activity, and you see yourself as the first one who's going to be kicked out the door, I took the opportunity to make it a higher profile story and simply label the building as an illegal club. When they moved in the generator, the gasoline generator indoors to power the party, that's when the words fire trap got added to the illegal club. If you drive by the store now, the hilarity is that it's still up there. It's broadcast, and it says, you know, it calls out, you know, and it's not calling out shamefully. It's calling out for assistance. This is an SOS, San Francisco Fire Department, Police Department, Alcohol Beverage Control. This is an illegal club. They are still operating nightly. With that, you literally have to walk under that sign to get into this club, and nobody's thinking twice about it. Here is the anecdote, though.
Uh-oh.
Our marquee got sprayed, and that's part of the building. The one overlap, though, that occurred was on the sidewalk right in front of the door. Same words, illegal, dangerous, with an arrow pointing toward the front door, which is a small wood opening, maybe 3.5 feet tall by 2 feet, and the rest is an iron gate. Yesterday, there was an officer out there photographing the whole building, and one of our neighbors approached and said, "Great, I'm glad you're out here. Thank you. We're glad to see you documenting it." And they said, "Yeah, we're out here investigating damage to property."
No.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was about to say, did you just get one of those notices of violation for graffiti on your front door?
That's the graffiti abatement team, yeah. Which is a completely detached unit that is
so
a civic cleanup.
Sides.
This was one of the code compliance officers who came out personally on their own time, probably haven't dealt with a graffiti issue in their entire career, have decided to take it upon them to photograph this. And when the individual says destruction of property, meaning everything they've done to the building, this particular officer specifically said, no, it's a violation of city code to spray paint on the sidewalk. So what's going to happen is this call out of the SFPD is coming right back at me, most likely.
Yeah.
With a vandalism charge to the sidewalk 1 foot in front of our front door. And if it does, that's the other shoe dropping, which I will find both sad, sickening, and hilarious all in one fell swoop.
And I'm glad you're smiling while you're telling this
story. I cannot even believe it's for real. When I heard that, I can't get a police response out there for the fact that there's 50 people partying in a club with a tiny little opening and a gas generator at 5 a.m. and 8 words scribbled across the sidewalk in spray paint get an immediate response. And I will be the first one, if they cite me, I will be the first one affiliated with this building to receive a citation, including the speakeasy. They've gotten a pass 100% of the time. If I get cited, I will be the only one walking away with any sort of civic violation.
Wait, haven't there been arrests made? But it was none of the people who organized it.
None of the people who organized it. What they were doing was a shakedown, presumably to find high-profile people with warrants. They were creating a club with an unsavory environment, and when they saw their opportunity to go in, it was the Ingleside Gang Enforcement Task Force. Mm. It was a multi-agency bus that came in looking for specific people. And like I said, I found it fascinating that none of the people who organized the party were present that night.
Hmm.
Yeah, the whole thing's been not a pleasant experience, and it's definitely been the most surreal situation I've dealt with in a very surreal life that I live.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
So where are you going to go if you have to go?
It's out of all my serious offers for, subsidized lodging are outside of the city, mm-hmm. or out of the state.
Right.
Unfortunately. And I've been here now 15 years and have run my business here the entire time. I have all my wholesale operations here, but I had a 7-year master lease on this building, 7 years remaining on my master lease. Mm. I've been in this building specifically for almost 5 years, and to within the course of 2 months have that just absolutely pulled out from under my feet. That is a serious life change. I have a couple thousand square feet of just industrial apparatus that are part of our whole, we're a beverage company.
Right.
We both manufacture and we distribute, but all that just gets pulled right out. It's with no place to go based on our available cash flow and mm-hmm. the Bay Area market.
I'm really sorry.
No, thank you. Thank you. I'll accept that, but also mostly I'm here kind of as a warning. Because it's a bummer to have happened to you, and I'd
yes.
prefer to not see it happen to anybody
yeah.
else.
Take note.
Has anybody reached out to you in the course of this that kind of went through a similar situation?
I haven't heard from anybody yet. Mm-hmm. Anybody, surprisingly. I think a lot of people, you know, and I'll tell you why I believe that's so. It's a very intimidating scene. Mm-hmm. As soon as the ABC, rather the liaison got involved, he goes, Taylor, do you know who you're dealing with in the front? And I wish I could tell you who I was, but because I share a building, no, as in what organization, et cetera,
okay.
but because of my proximity to it, this is the first time I backed down from information. And I actually said, as long as I'm in the building, I'd actually prefer not to know.
Yeah, understandably.
And you can tell me later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very unlike me, but there was some chord that was struck deep within me that just said, I'm already unnerved. I don't need that extra little piece. And as a result, if anybody wraps up a situation with one of these clubs, I think they just want to forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we're running out of time here. We'll certainly continue to follow this. Anything else you want to add before we close it up?
No, thank you. I look forward to getting a good night's sleep.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here today. With that, we are starting to run out of time. You've been tuned in to Listen Local, brought to you by the staff of Mission Local, as always. If you know something that we don't that you think we should, shoot us an email at info@missionlocal.com. When we're out, you should check out some of the electronic tunes and more from across the pond, brought to you by John Digital. Thanks for listening.
That's what this song's all about. I have a man, he likes to hucklebuck. Well, I have a man, he likes to hucklebuck. Then he calls him in the morning, all he wanna do is
walk right in, walk right out.
Well, I like to dance the Susie Q, the conga, and the chuck. When I